welcome to episode 22 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for people in Fairview and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show released every Wednesday featuring stories that aim to inform and inspire. Local radio stations and newspapers don't exist in small towns like ours, so we'll use Hello Fairview to fill that void with news related to Fairview. This is a value for value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on the value you receive. This concept was founded by the podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host John C. Dvorak of the No Agenda Show over 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one-man operation, so if you have any ideas, events, business opportunities, or job openings, please don't hesitate to let me know. Use the contact form on the website, and we'll work to get the updates out before the next episode. You're a producer of the show. You are not the product, because your time and attention are not being sold to advertisers for their value. Some shows will be longer, others will be shorter, but I always try to do my best to keep things relevant. Traffic time. Well, it's normal busy. You can wait 3 to 5 minutes in the morning and afternoon to make a left and sometimes even a right turn on 100 and Old Cox, all the way from there to the rec center. The snow be gone has definitely worked, but the tree be gone still has some time. No real construction updates as they will start probably getting really back to work this week and into next week after the storm. Red light update, we still have 3, Old Cox, Publix, and Walmart. We're still waiting for the one at the city center entrance and the Cumberland 100 intersection when that expansion occurs. If we've noticed on that, they've put some of those silt fences in all the way down to the high school and now, so I guess they're getting ready to really start messing up with that area, so we'll have to see how that goes. City center progress is paused for a couple weeks with the weather, but we'll see when it picks back up. We're growing. Well, things are rolling like normal. I've seen a lot of discussions with, on power and tree removal and everything related to that in the storm. With just 14 people out of the whole Middle Tennessee Electric still don't have power, and it looked like there was 3 or 4 in the Fairview area. So things are much, much better than it was. The cleanup process will be for the city. We'll post they're running the chipper service as long as you place items on the curbside. If you hire a contractor to clean up, it's their responsibility to dispose of these items. They cannot use the chipper service. They mentioned next week or two, so no exact timeline yet. And we've got a little bit more news on that from the Planning Commission. Bowie Park is still closed, and it may be for a while given the number of paths disrupted and the number of trees down and the number of trees that are not all the way down but just hung as they were felling in the woods, so they don't want a tree to fall on somebody as it sits there. TDOT, they're still going to be doing on 96 pothole patching from 29 to 213, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. There'll be multiple lane closures both directions, and this is mile marker 20 to 24. Sewer and gas work 28 to 214, and this is on mile marker 10 of that. The lane closures are there, and Williamson County State Road 100 sidewalk construction daily 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. excluding weekends. There'll be lane closures in both directions of sidewalk constructions. Flaggers will be utilized at mile marker 3 to 5.5. So we'll see that. And then when it comes to some of the next news, there is the development code meetings. There's one on February 19th, and there's another one on March 5th for the Board of Commissioners and the Planning Commission. Houses, well, there is 213 from sale, up from 195 last week. Still the same highs and lows. The highest is $3.495 million for 70 acres and a house, and the lowest is $245,000 with no acres, 2-bed, 1-bath townhome. So you got a couple things there. We've got a couple links in there of the development code, the new streets types, and the new zoning stuff. Town meeting. Well, so this week we had, it was definitely a busy week, which is why this show is going to be running a little late, is, on 2/10/26, they had a planning commission meeting. And so on the recap of that, basically approval of the agenda, that kind of stuff, but PC Resolution 526, which was a gas station. This is a Casey gas station, and they'll be they're putting about $5,200 in the tree fund based on the number of trees that they're taking out and then the number of trees they're putting back in. They talked about the transportation flow. They talked about stormwater retention being above ground or detention. This would be at the intersection of Cox Pike in between La Plaza and the car wash. Talked about some of the traffic concerns of people trying to turn left in there and the traffic study and that they were going to release it. Talked about the restriping of Highway 100 for the dedicated turn lane into this. So this passed 8-1 with Mr. Pape voting no for it, and we took a couple screenshots of it. So there'll be a gas station there. So PC Resolution 626 passed 8-1 with Mr. King voting no on it. This is basically to fill the donut hole for the Orange Shire subdivision, where basically the properties on each side of it have been annexed to the city, and this one wasn't. So there was no questions. This one was just passed. PC Resolution 726-72. We had Mayor Anderson and Mr. Pape were the dissenters of that, this development. And basically David had been a architect, and he passed a couple things along on this public comment related to this, and he passed out a couple things, and there were some problems with it. And he says, you know, that you dismiss stucco as an option to build a house, and this is what TPUDC did in that as the exterior coating options. There are homes that, you know, now can't be built. Two examples were shown with the new code because the second floor windows must be aligned with the first floor windows. Another example of a house that cannot be built is one with four flat roof areas and windowsills 30 inches from the ground, which basically bans floor-to-ceiling windows, and other problems in this huge list of codes. Final point, overall zoning and allowed building, and that many things are not allowed by the 2040 plan and development code, and there would be many businesses and you know, care opportunities related to that. The rural retreat is still in there, and so it's still in that code. Then we had another public speaker, Wallace. He came in and talked about the Cumberland Drive and the design phase and understands what the purpose is. City Legal told him that basically if you're asking us if you need to use the new codes or the old codes, you need to get your lawyer to reach out to us. Item number five, this is kind of weird. The way this was structured is that there was these public comments along with some of the information that was kind of bouncing between there, and they were all reading something that was not in the agenda. So they referenced things like item 3, item 5, item 11. So Mr. Pape discussed elevations, the definition of a ridgetop, and how to update the verbiage to make it more general, removing any elevation requirements in there so that the boards can decide there. And that passed 9-0 for that amendment. And then item 11 was the driveway dimension setback and those limits. Mr. Pape discussed the erosion and differences of slopes behind on lot size. Then they talked about slopes, the percentage of slope, and the percentage of the property affected. They focused on the CD4 if they want to do pods, and many people will move here without any of these changes. There are, you know, more things in play than our development code of why people are going to move here. All commercial general properties will be moved to CD4. Talked about the pod and those requirements, and there's a lot of variations possible, unlike CD4, and they'll have to have a special permit. So there could be a special district, and that passed 7-2. To remove that line 3, they talked about some of the orders of events and some of the zoning public hearing and resolution stuff that was going on there. Basically, after that, everybody was thanking everyone for all their time and work on these codes and obviously the town for all the things that they've been doing post the storm. And then basically they had the Planning Commission roundtable, and pretty much everyone just said thanks, but you know, we were good that we started the process. Then the Board of Commissioners meeting, that was that same night, that was 14 more homes were basically added. The mayor's comments was basically thanking everyone for what they did and the police and, you know, make sure you're not going into Bowie Park. And then if you hire a contractor, they're responsible for the removal, like we talked about. Citizen comments, Levi from the Scout, Cub Scout Pack 309 came and talked about the scouting for food, and that last weekend they dropped the door hangers, and this weekend they will come to pick up the food from your porch if you get a door hanger. Last year, they got 1,500 pounds of food, which is more than any other Cub Scout pack in Williamson County, and they want to do more this year. And if you meet them at the safe storage, Commissioner Buffalini asked about that, that you can meet them there between 10 and 11. And that way you can donate some food if you didn't happen to get the door hanger. Agenda was approved. City events. March 28 is the Easter egg hunt, but it's scheduled at Bowie Park, so it may have to do that. They're still accepting sponsors for the July 3rd celebration. 391,000 people on social media pages were viewed during the storm. $80,000 viewers just on January 26th. They gained 163 new tech subscribers. They put out 91 messages, 72 social media posts, and 19 posts on text. Had 45 messages of downed trees, power outages, and people needing assistance. Constant communication with news stations, and they were calling daily to seeing how things were going. Everyone jumped in to help and did everything they needed. And then they talked about the warming station volunteers. Commissioner Roberts talked about that, wanted to make sure they were recognized for all they did and thank them for all that. And then we had Miss Patty talk about the economic development. I put some of the notes in here. Basically, they went to a conference, her and Mayor Anderson in Minnesota, with other local government leaders to kind of talk about all the things that go on there and how they can attract new businesses and promote economic development through social media, website, and media events. They've been working with a restaurant group that's going through there, and they've been trying to get a hotel and a couple other things. There's a business that's getting ready to come to Fairview that will bring 50 jobs to our community with 25 new positions that's coming, and they're working on purchasing land for headquarters there. And then this was another post here that was good. This was there was two charts here that was showing the property tax. So property taxes dropped off by 15% between second quarter 25 and 26. And this is related to the number of people that had paid their bills earlier versus later last year. And those fluctuations are associated with like the mortgage setups, because it's not like we had less houses. We've had more houses, so we should always be growing in that sense. And that's kind of beyond the city's control. They showed the sales tax differences in there. It's down 1.81%. And the building permit revenue was up 54%. And so lots of cool, like, kind of there. Commissioner Roberts asked about, you know, what you learned in this trip to Minnesota that stood out that could bring back to there. And there was a long talk about affordable housing. Williamson County is not affordable. People are moving out. Not sure I really believe that based on the number of houses sold, school enrollment growth, and the density across this county and this city. One thing that was interesting in Minnesota, they had bought property for seniors, sold off the excess land to pay the city back, and developed a product. But, you know, we would need a blank checkbook to be able to do stuff like that. We would have to invest into it. It could be something for the future. There's a problem here with many of our workforce in town cannot actually live in Fairview, including like nurses, teachers, and other service workers. Minnesota didn't mind taxing the cities, unlike Williamson County. We have an influx of people moving here from all around, so the growth isn't stopping, and where do we go from here? And there are many incentives that we could offer, and we could work with developers to create a better situation in our city. Commissioner Roberts mentioned that in the summertime we discussed the feasibility of this position and wanted to show and assess the city's overall economic impact. Can you give us some details of the takeaways from that project? Tom took the lead on this and said we did some basic things and, you know, about who we are. We've talked about our goals for herself, and one of them is to invest Fairview, which is raising money for desirable products. I'm working to tracking of many of these things. We'll go from there. Commissioner Roberts responded back and say, you know, what would you say the rest of this year's goals are? Looking at expanding some of the services, the 2040 plan, discussing some hotels and how we're going to get that going and how to get some marketing on that. Looking at the interstate and the lighting project, and looking at grants to clean up the area, working on some transportation areas along with GNRC, and I continue to represent the city for that, was Patty. Commissioner Buffalini said, how long have you been in this position now? And she had been there since 2 years in April. how many businesses leads are still active and closed. There are still active, and one of the manufacturers was closed because they couldn't find a property. Asked about the visionary report in Invest Fairview and what's the status of the widening project. And she basically was there saying, I would like the community members to look it over. I see myself helping with the, you know, to advance the city's vision, serving as a conduit from the community and working with the board. And that they're still in line for the design review. We have some money and start going down from that as bids and stuff like that are going through with TDOT. I'd love to see a full-time grant writer, but this would be expensive. We could use some grants with the police and fire station. I'm doing public relations and trying to recruit and people to connect with business owners. This role serves a great service and helps as things come up in the planning department. We have to be present in Williamson County, and I have some members who are more active than others, but we have to show up if we're going to do that. She also mentioned that she's happy to help to do some things, and I think the conversations we had about affordable housing and how to get a vision and goal for the city are working great. Commissioner Hall asked if you had any leads and to make sure to keep Carol up to date on that. She works with real estate agents and calls on property listings and tries to find that within the jobs there. Commissioner Roberts mentioned again that Round Town Coffee and you're waiting for the board. I think that approach is backwards. We shouldn't be coming from that, driving these goals and how it benefits the community. Today, we have to think about today. I see the analysts and these numbers and permits and taxes. What's the story? I want you to work on evidence-based and measurable outcomes. What's going to happen with this position and seeing some tangible results. We applied for some grants and now we're waiting to know their statuses. I want your input. And there were some things there and that some projects and how much energy there. Mr. Gardy said, I respect the feedback, but we can work on getting you some more of those details. Commissioner Buffalini, we haven't seen anything in 2 years or it hasn't been reported. Before we move on, can we get a list of specific projects? And he talked about the lighting project, and then he said no on it. Didn't TDOT come for us for that? And there's a 50-50 grant that they're trying to get and understand the return on investment in the next 5 to 10 years. And Mr. Gardy replied that $1.2 million is a return on investment because of the 50-50 match. Ms. Carroll said, I think, you know, there will be a return on investment from that and safety benefits and cleanup around that area. This will help businesses. When I first contacted Community First Mortgages, I've been with the bank. I've been working with many of those publicly. I know that, you know, Cumberland Road project and that $8 million. And if you look at my salary, you're trying to justify it. And this is just a single project could do that. Some people may not get things done like that in 10 years, but if I'm not providing things the way you want them, I can make adjustments and report back. Maybe I need to communicate better and, you know, all have full-time jobs. I just want to be the legs and ears for the community, and I'm happy to help come up with general ideas and the vision with there. I want to know that you'll do that and that Tom is the driver a lot of that. And then Mayor Anderson talked about her vision and talked about that the Little League World Series has come here 2 times and that there was over 2,000 people, but there's not any hotels here, so that means they left and spent their money other places. So a nice large hotel would really do good, and that things outside of Disney, Denny's at the interstate exit on 40 has been basically the same and not good for the last 30 years. It's so dark over there. Police officers have almost been T-boned in that area. And, this is all about economic development and people seeing what they're not seeing. She wants to make the exit more desirable where people want to stop in this town and spend money here when the area is lit and inviting. Versus when you stop at the exit and it's dark, you might just find another exit to stop at. Another thing is about affordable housing. I would like to see if we can work with a developer. Everyone says that, you know, they want an acre lot, but that's a $1 million house in most cases, and that means you have to be rich. I would love to incentivize the developer to build a mix of smaller homes and lots and also include options for seniors and young people to actually stay within their town. With some of our staff that actually live here, it is more affordable. Work with developers to make it more affordable. Right now, when you get off the exit, there is no wow. I want to spend time in the community. They pass us and make it basically feel safe. How long until we get this started? And she worked with developers on that hotel and attracting that stuff there. There isn't one city in our area. This is from Ms. Carroll. Development that doesn't have a economic development office. As you know, how important it is to get things done with the staff. It's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. We didn't mention the Minnesota meeting, but we met with Casey's there, and they're coming here, just like we mentioned earlier in the Planning Commission, that they're going to come there. We worked with them for a couple hours. We are next in line for the lighting project. Basically, they're wrapping up in another location that's coming there, and there's some grants that could be possible still. There's still several hotels that she's working with on a regular basis to get that kind of stuff done. And Commissioner Hall said that, you know, when he was city manager and we talked about the medical center across from Papa John's, and we did lots of grants over the years, and I think this is a good thing coming in just the past 2 years of what we've been able to do, and she's helping our economic development for that. The finance report, the budget report, and expense summary, the last pages of the statement were from January 31st. If you have any questions, this is Mr. Gardy. I wish these were actually posted, so we can't ever see these. You have to go to the office to get them. And so that's not very transparent when they put so much stuff on the agenda. City manager report basically talked about the ice storm and all the things going on with that. And now they worked with Williamson County Emergency Management and the Warming Center. They did a lot of, fixing on, getting the generators, keep those running at the police station and fire station. 173 overtime hours for city staff. Police had 54 hours of overtime. And they'll bring in some stuff to the board because they want to come up with a way to say thank you for everybody that put their town over themselves. Mr. Todd from Emergency Management got in there and talked about it. And there's a couple links in the show notes here on Williamson Ready so that you can report things that have gone on. They were able to keep all the emergency radio systems online, even were running on battery backup. The Pearl lost power, and they were monitoring the situation to see if they were going to have to evacuate people when they lost power. President Trump authorized funding for this event and will be able to use it to help this community. But they have to document all the things. So you have to document the hours and everything that you did for reimbursement, possible reimbursement letter. They're working on debris removal, which falls under this emergency declaration, working for there. And if you text debris to 888-777, this will register you for assistance for debris and future road pickups if you live in the county versus the city. And if you have damage to your home, report it at the website above and you could get some support. The reimbursement percentage would be 75% from federal government, 12.5% from the state, and the remaining 12.5% from the municipality. And this is definitely percentages kind of subject to change as all this stuff goes through. We're waiting for this declaration to do that. And anyone who volunteers, you can use that time to be tracked to be the 12.5% match. So that means if everybody was doing a bunch of volunteering, then it would count as that. Commissioner Roberts asked how you log your volunteer hours to that, and then times. They basically said that, United Way is one way that you can track it through there. And basically, you also need to sign the agreement regarding liability and take a picture of what you're doing to prove that you did it, that you cleaned up this or did this or did that. Mayor Anderson got back on the liability and asked if, what if happened, someone's got injured. Apparently someone else has already got injured trying to clean up some stuff. I don't know if that was city staff or not. They didn't really go into it. And then basically who pays that 12.5%. They kind of went back and forth. There were some volunteers with varying support. Project Rubicon, they've been working on that, of cleaning the tree branches and stuff like that to make sure the drains and the water so that we don't get a flood from all this stuff. Commissioner Roberts said that, since we don't have the financial, the emergency declaration completely done yet, we don't have to worry about these, financial impacts yet. Commissioner Buffalini asked about the grant possibility, types of supplies, where we could be ready in the future. Camp Marymount opened a shelter after the other one closed. And basically he said, if they do that, we rely on the Red Cross a lot to do that. There's some places where you go in there. It may be reusable there. The police training facility is opening this week, and I wanted to report that there has been no bids accepted to date, so they're still looking for options. And the welcome sign, still waiting for that meeting and picking the bids for that. The agenda was passed, and then the new businesses, basically the 14 homes. This was passed 5-0. This is Commissioner Roberts. How many is this? And this is the one that was Orange Shire. So this is the donut hole. So this is 14 more homes that will go down Northeast Highway. Resolution 426 passed 5-0, no questions. This was basically the proclamation of a civil emergency. And then in the discussion, Commissioner Buffalini had a contractor compliance issues, non-compliance with work start and speeding. Basically, they talked about that we've issued tickets and warnings about people speeding, and they would get complaints of people starting earlier than they're supposed to before 7 a.m., and that how those fees work in the codes department. And so the codes department has changed the hours of their codes inspector so that they start before the start time of all construction, so that way they can start driving around. And then Mayor Anderson talked about the, you know, they're also worried about all this new pavement that we did and how this could be damaged by doing all this. So then the codes, they talked about that this is private property, so don't try to go onto a construction site to film a violation. Call the city and let them do it. Roundtable, Commissioner Hall, he basically said thanks to everybody, Mr. Horton, that came, and that they're giving away some pecan trees, that they have 200 to give away. Veterans Park has a list of things that they want to do, including an ADA-compliant walking path and some bathrooms. Both will take some more planning and time, but right now they're thinking that they may use the farmer's market across the street to hand out those trees in the next week or two, so we'll get more news on that. Commissioner Roberts would like to get a work session scheduled so they can start with the Friends library sale that's coming up and some of the helping of those people. Mr. Darby met with some of the grant items on the historical village and some of those things with that agenda. Commissioner Buffalini talked about Camp Marymount had a cleanup day this weekend and into Sunday, and food and other options are available. Thanks to everyone who helped. Commissioner Roberts did all she did, and Vice Mayor McDonald and Brandon Butler getting people to the warming station. Uncle Lenny's volunteered along with Puckett's with food. Publix helped out so much along with their manager, and Papa John's and Domino's during this time too. So definitely shout outs there. Fire Chief came and talked about that burn permits are still the same way. You still need to go get one from the city, and there's all kinds of restrictions of how close to your house it can be, how close it can be from the property line. So make sure you get one of those permits so that you can they can know where these fires are going to be. Vice Mayor McDonald, thanks to everyone that was named and unnamed that stepped up. Mayor Anderson said happy birthday to her son, and then that she was talking about the Hold Harmless document. And because if you hire a tree contractor and there are some scammers out there, so be wary of door-to-door sales, cash only, check on their insurance, make sure that you report anything that doesn't seem right, call City Hall if you have any questions. She asked if the Hold Harmless documents would be what they need if anyone's going to help volunteer to fix stuff, and legal said that they can't, you know, say it, but it should be good. But there's all kinds of ways out of that. So I still have the links in here for the first development meeting and the second development meeting. The second development meeting, which was this 2:10 right before the Planning Commission, they did not have that on YouTube still. I put some of the slides in here, and I think these are all relevant, that basically talk about some of the landmarks, the overlay districts, some of the details of how this is going, because, you know, this document's over 400 pages. So this is a way that you can kind of see a little bit of what they're talking about. So there's all kinds of good little details and nuggets in here that I think could be good, and I asked if they could publish it, and we'll see what's going on there. But, you know, basically during that commission, there was lots of talk about buffers, slopes, and layers, and how certain things have to be in certain layers in the front and the back of the house. Talked about the screen and layout limit, the elements of the city's look and feel. Talked about the drive-through requirements. They probably spent almost 30 minutes talking about drive-throughs and how the first window and the second window and how McDonald's wouldn't even be compliant with this new development code that was coming in there. So lots of good stuff there. I put a link to the Facebook video since it's still not there. And some of our next town meetings, February 19th, we've got the Planning Commission, February 5th, and then now 19th is the Board of Commissioners. April 30th is the next town hall meeting, which is pretty far away. So nothing in there. Parks and Landscape Board is March 2nd at the Historical Village. Next development code is February 10th, which we just did. And the Roundtown copy is February 11th on show day here at Vintage Millworks. So we'll see what happens with that. State of Tennessee. Well, the NES CEO is definitely in trouble after how many things were handled at the ice storm, and their budget cuts for tree trimming were definitely part of the problem. They also waited a little bit too long to get outside help, so that just delayed where there was, you know, tens of thousands of people without power and even up to 100,000 plus. There's definitely a fight brewing right now in the Tennessee legislature about increasing transparency for the state's new private school voucher program. A House K-12 subcommittee on Tuesday defeated the Democratic Rep. Sam McKenzie's bill designed to give lawmakers more information about the 20,000 students receiving private school vouchers, mainly whether they were enrolled last year in private or public schools. So we talked about that with the governor's state of the state last week, where they're wanting to expand that to 40,000 students from 20 because they had over 54,000 application. And then sportsmen are reminded that there is a free permit required in 2026 light goose conservation season. And this will be held February 15th through March 31st. Hunters can claim their free permit on gooutdoorstennessee.com. Hamilton County Republicans is sponsoring legislation to make it a state crime to disrupt religious services. Representative Greg Martin of Hickson filled the House bill with 2264, creating a Class B misdemeanor for anyone deliberately interfering with religious service and activities, and a state and local law enforcement authority over the arrest. The bills. Well, basically this one, we actually had an agenda. The State Building Commission is meeting on the 12th at 11 a.m. And in there, basically every school from Board of Regents to state schools is getting like $100,000 to $300,000 for that. And it also has, I mean, it's 30 pages of information of change orders where they need an extra $1 million or an extra couple million dollars. But otherwise, 219, there's a health subcommittee and a couple other meetings on 219 on government operations and the rule review of that. So a couple links in there. Obviously, it's always kind of stinks when they don't have any real agendas in this stuff and details. Well, how's the hill? Well, back at it. It's definitely passable, almost back to normal, minus the sides of the roads, and are definitely getting there with the still trees down in and near the road. This week, the weather guessers are predicting highs from 54 to 71 and lows from 30 to 57, with some rain possible this Sunday. Businesses. Nothing new was spotted. Ace Hardware is definitely getting closer. They've made a lot of progress outside. I haven't spotted anything new this week. And there's still a couple properties for sale around the area. And that's the commercial property on Drag Strip Road and Loblolly Pine Boulevard. Farmers Market. Make sure you head to the Farmers Market every Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. At Messick Chiropractic and Fairview Fresh Deli Donuts for their life-changing apple fritters located across the road from Publix. There's so many good places to get breads and treats, local beef and pork, local fruits and vegetables, and some hot sauce, fishing lures, and other gifts all the time. It definitely rotates. Our brick-and-mortar highlight local business is La Plaza Mexican Restaurant. This is one of our local Mexican restaurants at the end of Cox Pike. They've been around for a long time, and on the weekends, you can expect to see that parking lot completely full. Many may not know, but they have a drive-through, and you can call ahead, so it's probably the fastest Mexican you can get in town when you're wanting that Mexican food. So they'll be getting a gas station as a neighbor based on that Planning Commission meeting with Casey's this week, so it'll be interesting to see how that changes the dynamic of that intersection. Job openings. Well, there's still 40 jobs open. Still have police officers, Boys and Girls Club. Basically, like we've talked about before, is it's almost every single business here in Fairview has an open position. From our retail stores like Walmart and Publix to all our foods and Dollar Trees, Dollar Generals, the Boys and Girls Club, Papa John's, all the restaurants, Sherman Williams, Fairview Animal Clinic. SPEG, they needed an assembler, Tractor Supply Co., Hardee's, I mean, it's just all over there. And if anyone else has any job postings and you'd like me to share it and read them weekly, just fill out the contact form on the website and we will add that to the next meeting. History nugget. Well, 1682, the French General La Salle built Fort Prudhomme near Memphis. So this is the first structure built in by Europeans in Tennessee in 1682 out by Memphis. In 1714, M. Charleville, a French trader from New Orleans, established a trading post in the gorge called French Lick, which is today's Nashville around the Cumberland River. And so that's kind of cool that that's what Nashville was before it was Nashville. Upcoming events. Well, always check out our calendar online, and there has been lots of stuff going on, and we'll get into that with the schools. But the recap, the Sweetheart Fathers and Daughter Dance looks like it has been a success. There was a strong attendance in both shifts, both time slots. Saw lots of pictures there. Everyone looks like they had fun. February 26th through 28th is the winter book sale at the public library, so please reach out to them. April 28th is the Fairview Titans Pro first annual four-man scramble golf tournament. March 28th, like we talked about, is the Easter egg hunt. May 2nd is the Arts and Crafts Fair at Bowie Park. It is elections this year, so there are elections that will be starting early voting in April 15th to 30th for the county primary, and then the early voting for the state and county general is July 7th through August 1st, and then obviously early voting in the November election, October 14th through 19th, so we've got a lot of the stuff there. For the kids, well, there's still tons of activities to do in Fairview to keep your kids engaged. There are some cheer programs, recreation teams from baseball to basketball to football and others. There's a thriving Girl Scout and Scouts BSA programs here in Fairview. If you have a homeschooler, make sure you're always checking out Bowie Park schedule for the clubs that meet there. If you have kids that are interested in dance and gymnastics or cheer, make sure you check out Lala's Dance Studio or Elevate Gymnastics and cheer. Vigilance Martial Arts is our local Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu school that teaches more than just moves. And the Fairview Youth Jacket Wrestling Program has a great program and a lot of summer options if you want to have a place for your kid to do something over the summer. School news. Well, it's definitely a short week because they're off on the 12th through the 15th is the midwinter break for President's Day. So they're off on Friday Monday this week. Monday's the holiday, and we're just getting, I guess, a bonus Friday for fun. Falcon Tiger news. No new news since last week. Falcon news. The newsletter was on time, so congratulations to the both basketball teams finishing first in the WCS tournament, and they're getting ready for the state championship even this Friday. There's some eighth grade band members that are part of the high school that are heading to Orlando for a competition, so that's good there. Yesterday on the 10th, the boys baseball team varsity had a scrimmage at Harpeth. The bowling team versus Mill Creek was there. And on Thursday the 12th, there will be bowling at Page at Franklin Lanes at 3:30. Just like we mentioned last time, there's free parenting Zoom workshops by Stephanie Sullivan in collaboration with our agencies. The topics are helping your anxious, stressed, and perfectionist child on February 26th, and the topic on vaping and youth trends and what you need to know on April 22nd. Both of those links are in their newsletter, so you can definitely check them out. A bunch of this was rescheduled because of we're finally get back to school. Play auditions for the middle school are April 9th through 11th for Charlotte's Web. If you're interested, make sure and fill it out on Schoology with that code, and you'll be ready to roll. The art club will resume this Friday, February 6th, or last Friday. And if you have any decorative pottery, cups, or bowls that are chipped or you're getting rid of, please donate it to the art club because they're doing some mosaic stuff. February 12th is the Spring Pictures Day, new day here, and March 5th, makeup pictures for the portraits of freshmen, February 18th, and all rising there, and then obviously the course selection for eighth graders is starting February 19th through March 5th, 26th at the library, and the high school counselors will be working with them on that to figure out and go from there. Just like we talked about the art club, you can drop off any of that pottery there. There is a pre-CPA concert on February 19th at 6:30 p.m. at the Fairview Performing Arts Center, which will have the high school jazz and color guard and the middle school eighth grade orchestra and the high school orchestra and the high school band. And it's free. So if you want to come experience some music and support our students, definitely come support the middle school and high school band with that. Jacket News. They basically thanked all the volunteers for stepping up with the Warming Center. The 2026 prom is April 18th and tickets are $90, and you must be a junior or senior to be able to get those tickets. So purchase those. 217 is Spring Picture Day, and yearbooks need to be purchased before April 3rd. March 6th is the end of the third quarter. March 9th through 13th is spring break, so there's no school coming up then. April 3rd is the spring holiday for Good Friday, and the FCCLA Care Closet is working up and working. We've talked about that a couple times, then even highlighted on the latest edition of The Hive. If you go look at The Hive, Fairview High School on YouTube, you can find that and see what the school's doing each week. May 21st is our last half day of school with 11:20 dismissals. The Fairview Rec Association still needs umpires. If you have information on the meetings, there's a February 21st meeting right now that you can get to. That's at 1 p.m. at the Fairview Ballpark. We've got that. Applications to the Innovation Center and the Entrepreneur Center are both still open. So definitely look at getting into there. And I guess it. And then faith moment. Well, this week I was really behind this on this episode because of the three meetings that needed to be listed and recapped. So I thought this time we would go back to some of those quotes from presidents, and I found a good one to add. So it's Theodore Roosevelt, who was our 26th president. Every thinking man, when he thinks, realizes that the teachings of the Bible are so interwoven with the whole civic and social life that it would be literally impossible for us to figure out what life would be if those teachings were removed. We would lose almost all standards by which we now judge both public and private morals, all standards towards which we, with more or less resolution, strive to raise ourselves. So, hopefully that quote from President Roosevelt resonated, because the teachings of the Bible are woven into our, you know, civic and social life. I know we talked about the Founders Bible before, but I think this is a good thing to bring up from time to time, based on our country's founding and what's going on there. Without these biblical foundations, there would be no private morals of what's right and wrong, and which would cause a lot of chaos. And so being built on that. Donations. Well, on the donation front, nothing new from Fountain. We're still trying to finish up some of the setup stuff on Stripe. And there's other supporter options which are listed on the website. And overall, thank you for if you found this podcast helpful. And hopefully if you can support the show with your time, talents, or treasure. If you have an idea or suggestion, please share it with us. Use that contact form. You're a producer of this show. Your talent, you can share your talent. If you have skills that can help the show or news, let us know. Treasure, you're receiving this product for free without paid advertisements. You're getting truly local news. And if that's worth something, please consider supporting us financially and using the value for value system. Please follow us on social media and hellofairview.com. And other than that, thank y'all. Have a great weekend.